grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. If your house is anything like my house, well, it's beginning to look like Christmas. The decorations are going up, the cards are piling up, the corners and the closets of the bedroom are being cluttered with parcels of various sizes, and the CD player is loaded with Christmas music. It must be getting close to the great day. And those of you who have small children, and maybe children not so small, have other reasons, I'm sure, for knowing that Christmas is almost here. In spite of the fact that the church calendar says Advent, everything else is saying Christmas. But this is the way it is every year, isn't it? Now, the longer the season of Advent goes on, the more Christmas crowds out the time of preparation. So that by this time of December, it's hard even to remember that we're still in the Advent season, so much does Christmas force its attention upon us. Which I think is okay for most of us, because Christmas is a lot more fun. There is a problem, however, and that is that no one thought to inform the Dean of Chapel that we're ready to celebrate. For here, at least, Advent still reigns. Oh, I know we have Christmas trees and poinsettias there in the corner, but when we listen to the scripture reading for this morning, we don't get Christmas. We get John the Baptist. And John is definitely Advent, not Christmas. For John is a biblical figure who always makes us feel at least a little bit uncomfortable. First of all, there are those clothes and that diet. Not your typical Christmas party guest, is he? And then there is that message of his, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A message that he follows up by saying that the Messiah is coming soon in judgment. For his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Now that's hardly a picture designed to make us feel very good about ourselves, and it's not a message that we identify with Christmas. Repent. And yet our Lord calls John the last and the greatest of the prophets, the second Elijah, the one through whom the kingdom of heaven is advancing upon men. Perhaps then John makes us feel uncomfortable because that's what a prophet is supposed to do. And the rule of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not for the complacent, the indifferent, the easygoing, the self-satisfied, but for the forceful, even the violent, who tear themselves away from their old lives of sin, who repudiate everything that they once held dear, and who embrace a life under the cross. Now tell me, who really wants to hear that message at this time of year? No wonder then that John seems out of place today, for we want Christmas without Advent. We want joy and celebration and life without repentance and without judgment. But we can't. Oh, we may think we can. A lot of people think so. But it really doesn't work. And life has a way of showing it. Indeed, Christmas itself shows it. At least our celebration of Christmas does. For in popular mythology, Christmas is idyllic. Everything is perfect. Madison Avenue, of course, defines perfection in terms of presents and food and decorations and special entertainment. Whereas television programs and movies, I think, do a little better. At least movies like It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Carol, the story of Scrooge and all that. Well, they always seem to define it in terms of reconciliation. Reconciliation of communities, and especially of families. A time, Christmas is a time when wrongs are righted or at least forgiven, and when for just once in the year, everybody comes together and everybody gets along and everything goes right, at least by the end of the show. But of course, the real Christmas celebration isn't like that at all. And you know, for many, many people, Christmas is the worst time of year, especially on account of loneliness. Loneliness, often rooted in broken relationships that are never healed. Maybe even can't be healed on account of death. And for many others, Christmas is a time of anxiety, envy, disappointment, depression. And for everybody, and I mean everybody, even those who are celebrating their best Christmas ever, well, Christmas comes and Christmas goes. And it leaves us all right where we were before. The problem then is that we can't get to the world's idyllic Christmas by means of the world's mistaken methods. For one thing, any kind of happiness based on material things is absolutely superficial. For as much as we are material beings, and we all are that, we are also much more than that. We have souls as well as bodies. We were created in the image of God, and therefore we long for what the world promises. Peace and love and harmony, reconciliation, we really want that, but the world can't deliver it. Not until we are reconciled with the God who made us can we ever be reconciled really with those around us. Well, it is about that God that John and all the prophets spoke when they called upon people to repent. For there is no Christmas without Advent. Locked into ourselves, into that mad but perpetual egocentrism that we call sin, we are doomed to continual disappointment and frustration and finally death. We are doomed, damned, unless someone can break the lock. Well, it wasn't John, it wasn't Elijah, it wasn't one of the other prophets, but our Lord Jesus Christ, about whom they spoke, who was finally able to break the cycle of sin and death. And he's the one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas because he's the one who finally brought about reconciliation between God and sinners. And so John calls us to Advent by telling us the truth about ourselves and our sin, but Jesus wins salvation from sin for us, and so he calls us to Christmas. Now, I've always found it very interesting that John was apparently confused about Jesus' ministry, at least surprised by it. So he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask the question, "Are you the one who's supposed to come, or do we look for another?" And our Lord's answer is just wonderful. "Go," he says, "go and tell John what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Now, perhaps John thought that the great theme of Jesus' ministry was supposed to be judgment. But in point of fact, it was mercy. Compassion toward people. Mercy to poor sinners. Now, that's a reason to celebrate. And so maybe it's okay then to mix some Christmas, maybe even a lot of Christmas, into Advent, because Christmas without Advent is impossible, however much the world may attempt it. But Advent without Christmas, John without Jesus, sin without salvation, well, that's unbearable. We need them both, not one without the other. So let's celebrate them both, Advent and Christmas. Repent, yes, indeed, for we are certainly sinners, but also believe the gospel, for Jesus Christ is certainly our Savior. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.